You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Are you just a lucky accident, or is there a purpose for your life?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
As we turn to God in prayer, let us remember that He welcomes our petitions through Jesus Christ, the world's only Savior. Merciful Father, we come to You now because there is so much confusion in our lives. We are often like the athlete who scores a goal for the opposing team. If there are those who have chosen riches, fame, pleasure, or fun as their goals in life, forgive them through the holy blood of Your Son, Jesus Christ. If there are some who have tried to create purposes for their lives through drink, drugs, illicit sex, violence, and the like, lead them to repentance and forgive their sins through the sufferings of the Lord Jesus and replace their darkness with Your beautiful and everlasting light. To those who may be lying on the bed of sickness, injury, or pain, and to those who have no idea anymore why they should remain in this world, grant Your love and peace, and assure them through Jesus Christ that You do have a good and eternally important purpose for each hour of their suffering. O Father, show us Your love and Your salvation through Him whom You have sent, our dear Redeemer and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Millions of people enjoy watching their favorite athletic team in action. If your team scores, if your team wins the game, you feel like celebrating, and properly so. But what if there were no goal lines or goal posts? Then no one would know when your team had scored, and then no one would know when the game was finished or who had won, and probably no one would bother to attend the game at all. So it is in our lives. We need to know where our starting point and our finish line are. Picture to yourself a ship with millions of passengers on it. The ship is sailing on a vast ocean. The passengers have been on board all their lives. None of them has ever been on land, nor has any of them ever seen a shoreline. They don't know why they are on the ship, they don't know where the ship started from, and they don't know what port they are headed for, if any. In fact, as far as they are concerned, they are sailing on a sea without a shore. That is a picture of what life is like without Jesus Christ. Without Him, there is no wisdom, no real understanding, and no meaning in life. Without Jesus Christ, neither your life nor mine has any real purpose or direction, and there are no answers to the three great questions that everyone needs an answer to. 1, where did I come from? 2, why am I here? And 3, where am I going? Another way of asking these three questions is to ask, who am I? What am I? Or what difference will it make at the end of my life that I ever came into existence? A person who never finds the answers to those questions may be rich, famous, powerful, and brilliant, but you can never call him wise. He He may have a mind as brilliant as Einstein's, but if he doesn't know where he comes from, why he is here, and where he is going, he has no wisdom, not the kind that really counts. 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, there was a great king named Solomon. As he thought about all these great questions, the Holy Spirit of God came to him and inspired him to write the key to the answer to all of them. We find that key in the book of Proverbs, chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. On the other side of the same coin, we find Solomon's father, King David, writing in Psalm 53, verse 1, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." There you have the key. Genuine wisdom, the kind that can answer the basic questions of life, always begins with God, the Lord, the Holy One. It is most certainly the very opposite of wisdom to claim that there is no God. A man was once injured in an automobile accident. Because he had a problem with bleeding, he had to stay in the hospital for some time. One day he asked his doctor, "Doc, why doesn't my blood stop bleeding like other people's does?" The medical specialist, a hematologist, said, "There are 42 distinct chemical steps in the process of changing flowing blood to a firm clot. Your blood seems to show a weakness in one or more of those steps. At this point, medical science can only test for 14 of those steps. In your blood, the trouble spot is in one of those steps for which we do not yet have a test." At that point, the patient gasped. "Do you mean to tell me, doctor, that there are people who have carefully studied all this and still have come to the conclusion that our bodies have come into existence over millions of years by a means of a long series of lucky accidents?" "Well," said the doctor, "I simply accept what my professor in medical school taught me about evolution and the origin of the human race. But I admit that it seems a bit far-fetched to say that the development of 42 separate steps in the clotting of blood and the saving of human lives through that clotting comes from random lucky accidents. Perhaps it did take God to create the human body." Then the patient replied, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." An atheist and a Christian were discussing the existence of God. The Christian was rather quiet, while the atheist dominated the conversation, as was his custom. Occasionally, the Christian interjected a comment, "Yes, that makes sense. Yes, that's logical." Finally, the atheist summarized his arguments against the existence of God and said, "That's why I cannot believe that there is a God." Whereupon the Christian simply replied, "Thank you. You have just proved that there is a God who made an orderly world." "What do you mean?" asked the atheist. "Well, every time you made a statement or spoke a sentence that made sense, you were proving that the molecules and atoms in your brain were arranged in an orderly way so that you could speak logically and clearly. If there is no God to make order in your brain, how could you speak a simple sentence like, 'There is no God'? Yet, there are millions, even billions, who pay no attention to the God who created them. Like people on a ship without a shore, they have no answers to life's most important questions. And this shows up in mounting problems we are facing in this second last decade of the 20th century. All kinds of wickedness and evil seem to have ingrained themselves into our hearts and our society. Each person ends up making himself his own little God. Lust for money, for illicit use of God's wonderful gift of sex, and for power over others is so common we take it for granted and even find it entertaining on television and the other media. Meanwhile, there is nothing but fog and confusion in questions of right and wrong. If you don't know where you start from, why you are here, and where you are headed, then why does it make any difference if you abort an unborn human being's life before he or she begins to grow up in a world that has no purpose or goal? And why, then, is it wrong to practice euthanasia or to force your will on someone else in rape, in war, or in some other crime? No wonder children and young people in schools are giving their parents and teachers such fits. No wonder there is so much fear, worry, and anxiety on every hand. If death is nothing but a leap into the dark, then our daily lives should be filled only with a mad scramble for our own individual places in the sun, even if it means that we climb over the bleeding backs of other people to get there. What we need badly is a shore for this ocean, a base and a goal line for our lives. Is there any answer to life's basic questions? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, says the word of that same Lord. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. There's the answer. There is hope. There is the shore, the base, and the goal line of our lives. Where did you come from? From the hand of the Almighty, loving Creator. True wisdom begins with Him, and Him alone. Moses, in Psalm 90, speaks of this infinite God as the Lord who has been our dwelling place throughout all generations. And he adds, "Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." To fear this Lord is to give him the honor and glory that is rightfully his. He, the Lord of all creation, is the shore from which your life began, the starting point from which you are to measure the meaning of all that you are and all that you do and all that you have. And when you really begin to realize that, you can say with a full heart, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." But that's only the beginning. If you stop there, you are like the ship that was launched from a shore, but soon sank. For you see, all have sinned and come short of the glory of this everlasting and loving Creator. Every thought we think, as if we were our own little gods and self-creators, is like driving a spear into the heart of the eternal God. Every selfish word, every feeling of lust or greed, every gallon or liter of fuel we burn for self-centered reasons, every thoughtless or careless four-lettered name we use on God or our fellow human beings, every time we cut boorishly or dangerously ahead of another car in traffic, every drop of blood or tears we cause someone else to shed, every one of these is a sin so great that it spoils the perfect work of the creating hand of our God and Lord. And his unmistakable word is that the wages of sin is death. Every sin is a thumbing of our nose at the God who is our everlasting Lord and Creator. That's why not fearing the Lord is utter stupidity. But what can you and I do about it if we find that we have offended our Almighty God and Lord? Is our life like a sinking ship? Is there any hope? Not in ourselves. And here is where millions go wrong. They know that their life has a Creator, a shore from which they are launched. But they honestly, but very mistakenly, believe that they can power their own ship of life with their own good deeds and words. There is born into every one of us the proud but totally wrong idea that our good standing before the Almighty Judge depends on how many good things we do to counterbalance the wrongs and mistakes of our lives. Many people compound this mistaken notion by calling on God to help them do more things to make up for whatever wrongs they recognize that they may have done. But we are dealing with the Almighty, the everlasting God and Lord, the Holy One, as Proverbs puts it, since he is not merely a passenger on the ship, but the eternal shoreline, not merely a player in the game, but rather the inventor and the perfect judge who also laid down the rules for us. We cannot make deals with him. Either we sink in the ocean or we reach shore completely. Either we live absolutely perfect lives in heart, mind, conscience, word, and deed, or we are sinners who deserve to be dying in all eternity. Again, we bump our heads against this all-important question. If I have offended the holy and almighty God of heaven and earth, is there any way out of my impending doom? Can I be saved from my well-deserved damnation? In other words, where am I going? In most good news, bad news jokes, the good news comes first, and we are left at the end with the bad news. But God's good news always is the last word, the saving, comforting news that gives solid hope and peace. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but also its end. The outcome of true wisdom is that the Lord of heaven and earth himself takes away all reason for fear and replaces it with the soul-assuring offer of eternal life instead of damnation. And this good news begins and ends with Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In other words, the Almighty Creator himself, the one who launched you on the ocean of life and eternity, loved you so much that he did not want you to sink and be lost. That's why he sent his infinite and almighty Son down from heaven to experience all the punishment of sin in your place. God himself sent in your perfect substitute, the only perfect man that ever lived, Jesus Christ, true God and true man. He lived a perfect and sinless life for us all. He died a cruel death on Calvary's cross in place of us all. And then he rose to life to share his victory with you and me. The Bible puts it this way: he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Then it adds, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What a God we have! He will never compromise with evil, not even the evil in your life or mine. But he does give us victory over evil by providing a substitute for us and laying our punishment on that perfect substitute, Jesus Christ. Now you can see the shoreline and the bases. Through trusting in this Jesus Christ, your God-given substitute, God clears away the fog and shows us the true answers to the basic questions of all our lives. 1. Where did I come from? From the loving hand of the God who really exists and who wants me for his own forever. 2. Why am I here? Even though I am a sinner and unable to save myself, my loving God gave his Son to wash me clean of sin by his death. I am here now because God wants me to take advantage of his Son's redeeming death and resurrection so that I can belong to God now and serve him in joy forever. 3. Where am I going? What is the shoreline ahead for me? Eternal life with my loving God forever and ever. As King David put it in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dear friend, our sea does have a shore. It is the Lord Jesus. We started from him. By faith in him, we will also land on him. We are glad to be sailing daily toward him. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ is our ship, our captain, and our everlasting shore. He is the only true wisdom. Amen.